This is A Sustainable Mind, episode 64. Today's episode features Samir Lakhani, and Samir has an awesome project about recycled soap. But before we get into that, I wanted to give a big shout out and thank you to our ongoing donors. Elizabeth B. from Oak Park, Illinois, Zane K. from Lakewood, Washington, Vincent A. from Las Vegas, Nevada, and Jessica D. from Topeka, Kansas. Thank you all so much. If you are interested in supporting A Sustainable Mind podcast, we are now a 501c3 charitable organization, and your donation is tax deductible. It goes towards the production of this show, upkeeping the website, editing the episodes, and keeping our podcast feed live. Thank you all so much. Welcome to A Sustainable Mind, where we delve into the minds behind today's most impactful environmental campaigns, organizations, and startups, inspiring the environmental change makers of tomorrow. I'm your host, Marjorie Alexander. Samir Lakhani, now 26, is a social entrepreneur dedicated to restoring health and dignity to developing countries through environmental initiatives. Prior to founding Eco Soap Bank in 2014, Samir was deeply involved in climate-resilient aquaculture and nutrition projects in northern Cambodian villages. He has also developed solar lighting social enterprise projects in Cambodia, Bangladesh, and Nepal. Currently, he serves as the founder and executive director of Eco Soap Bank, a global soap recycling organization, which operates in 10 countries in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. To date, Eco Soap has reached over 1.1 million people. How freaking fantastic is that? With recycled soap and free hygiene education. In 2017, Samir received a CNN Hero Award for his work in global hygiene. Welcome to the show, Samir. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I am super excited to get into this project, Eco Soap, which is a topic that I've been thinking about for a long time, but I've just never encountered anyone that actually had an organization that did this type of work. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But I wanted to start off with learning a little bit more about how sustainability and the environment played a role in your childhood growing up. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to talking soap, but let's go back to the beginning, right? Yeah. So of course, I think with most environmentalists, a lot of time was spent outside, including the American West. Once I saw those geologic features, I just knew that the world and the earth was bigger and more important than us, frankly. But in addition to that, from a very early age, I formed a realization that human health is inextricably tied to the planet's health, and one cannot be healthy while the other one suffers. And so that led me to study environmental science when I went to college, because I knew as a humanitarian and an environmentalist that I wanted to work on behalf of both.
Awesome. And we have a lot of college students that listen to the show, but also high school and even middle school students. And you said that you went to school for environmental studies of some sort. Can you tell us a little bit about what your experience was and maybe, you know, put a shout out for your school perhaps? And I know that there are a lot of people making their decisions about which colleges they're going to go to and also what programs they're going to major in.
Sure, absolutely. I'm biased, but my bias is split between the University of Florida, where I spent 2 years, and then I finished my undergraduate career at the University of Pittsburgh, where I currently live. So I studied.
I went to Pitt. No way.
You went to Pitt?
I did.
Absolutely. Perfect. See, this was meant to be, you know? So I studied environmental science and sustainability studies at both universities. And that was a tremendous experience. And we very lovingly refer to that program as the doom and gloom degree, because you know, we're constantly learning about the climate crisis and about volcanoes and other really depressing things. But I feel very much empowered learning about those things, because I feel equipped to do something about them as an entrepreneur now.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so that actually takes us into Project Eco Soap. Now, obviously, you didn't jump straight out of University of Pittsburgh into this project. So give us a little bit of an idea of what that journey might have been like. Was it direct? Was it kind of meandering? And then how did Project Eco Soap come to be?
Actually, I did jump directly into it. So I'll tell you, it's a good story. So my junior year at Pitt, I decided I didn't want to do a local internship, but I wanted to fly halfway across the world to do mine there. So I decided to do a climate change research project in northern Cambodia. And while I was there, I was working in rural villages and speaking to villagers about if they had noticed anything peculiar about climate seasons and patterns. And they told me that the climate was changing before their eyes, and the seasonal farming practices that they used on an annual basis were becoming unreliable and unpredictable. So my point is, climate change is not affecting us only in the industrialized world. It's affecting those at the bottom of the pyramid living in some of the most rural areas of the world. But while I was traveling and working in these villages, I saw something pretty haunting. I witnessed a village mother bathing her newborn son, but she was scrubbing his skin with laundry powder as opposed to bar soap or something a little bit more delicate. And I remember the baby was weeping. And I couldn't get this image out of my head. And with the help of a Cambodian friend, I asked her why she couldn't use bar soap. And she told me that it was just far too expensive for her. And I pushed a little further and I asked her, okay, do you think that laundry powder is reducing bacteria or keeping your child safe? And she told me something that I'll never forget. She told me that if her son fell sick, it was likely because of sins her son had committed in a past life. And this moment was very powerful for me, because when I went back to my hotel room at the end of this research project in Cambodia, I stepped into the bathroom and I had noticed that my housekeepers had thrown away a bar of soap that I had barely even touched, right? So it was in that precise moment that I knew what I could do for that village woman and countless others like her. I knew at that moment I was going to be recycling soap probably for the rest of my life.
Right. So I want to tackle this first.
Sure.
Because you had, there were several things in there that I want to touch on. But when we talk about recycling soap, the question on everyone's mind is, how do you do that in a sanitary and sterile way?
Is absolutely it
like a patented process that's like proprietary, or can you clue us in and give us a peek behind the curtain?
Yeah, absolutely. So number one, the safety and integrity of the product is of utmost importance. We would not be an ethical organization if we just gave used soap to communities in need and expected them to start forming healthy habits surrounding this awkward product. Mm-hmm. So what we actually do is we actually create brand new soap out of old soap. And what I mean by that is we run the soap that we collect through a three-stage lab-certified sanitization process. Okay. That includes removing the entire outer shell of the used soap bar when we receive it, so that no piece of the soap that has ever been in contact with another human being will end up in the final product. We then pulverize the soap into a fine powder, at which point we do chlorinate the soap bar to kill anything that might be harmful. And after the sterilization process, we remold it with heat and under pressure to form a basically brand new bar of soap ready for redistribution in the village.
Excellent. Okay. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, because I knew I'm just like I can imagine all the emails to you and me and people trying to research online, okay, how do you recycle soap in a sanitary way?
No, but it's good. It's good. People are curious, and you know what? With all things unique, especially if they're derived from trash, we need to take it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's a more serious question.
Sure.
When, let's see, how do I phrase this? Because I'm ignorant in this topic, but how does one come into a community where the cultural beliefs or the religious beliefs are such that it may come in, it may be, I guess, against what we know through research and experience is going to save, say, a child's life? So I know that you did mention, well, if the child dies, it's because of sins that they've committed, or if they get sick, it's because of sins they've committed. So how do you go into a community like that and say, here is this soap, we know that this can save lives?
I think that question was phrased perfectly. And thank you for that question. You know what? This is a hard-hitting podcast, and it's refreshing.
I tried, you know, because I have a degree in environmental studies, so do you, but so many of our listeners don't. And I'm just like, you shouldn't have to be researching this stuff or reading this stuff in the news on an everyday basis or doing this for a living to take part in this conversation. My intention has always been to make this conversation accessible to the masses. So I really try to boil it down to, you know, it's individual, you know, elements.
And I couldn't agree more. And that goes back to my earlier point saying that we need to work in harmony and progress along with the environment. It's not just a hobby or a topic that we can pick up when convenient. Sustainability should be something at our forefront. But back to your question, what we realized was that if we want to impart ethical and lasting hygiene change, it must come from someone who has the exact same background and that looks like the person that they're helping. So for example, if I were to enter a Cambodian or a Nepali village and start talking about sensitive subjects such as childhood diarrhea or female menstruation, it would not be taken very well, right? So the point is this, right? Especially when you're talking about childhood diarrhea, for example, the hygiene education is best imparted when it goes from mother to mother, right? When you're talking about sensitive subjects, when it comes from a family person tenderly and respectfully telling another family member what they can do, what affordable steps they can take to keep their family safe, it must be done by a kindred person on the village level. So we don't even take professional nurses or healthcare providers to the village, because even that socioeconomic barriers might disincentivize people from actually obtaining these new habits and these new suggestions. So what we do is we empower women in villages, and we call them hygiene ambassadors, and they go from door to door selling affordable soap to families while teaching them about proper hygiene.
That's fantastic. Not only do you encompass the educational piece, but you also give them a tool to put that new knowledge to use right away. That's freaking amazing. So Project Eco Soap is actually a Kickstarter campaign, and I have had my own Kickstarter campaign years ago and have talked a few friends through certain pieces of the process as well, and it is difficult. So if anyone is interested in learning more about Project Eco Soap, head on over to their website, projectecosoap.org. And then of course you can search Project Eco Soap at the Kickstarter homepage, kickstarter.com.
I'd love to say two words about that. So the Kickstarter campaign is actually opening our doors to people who want to buy this handcrafted soap made by women across the world. And for every bar that somebody purchases through the Kickstarter campaign, we're able to donate 100 bars to children in villages. So if you're looking to exponentially grow your impact through your purchases, look no further.
That's freaking awesome. So tell us about the team that you're working with, not just the individuals that you're working with, but also the partners that you've been working with. And maybe there are some people listening that would be willing to become partners in this project as well.
Absolutely. There's so much that people can do to get involved in global hygiene. So what we do is we employ economically disadvantaged women in 10 countries around the world to recycle leftover hotel soap. And so you might be thinking an obvious partner is the hotel industry. We recycle leftover soap from about 1,000 hotels in 10 countries around the world, and you would be absolutely amazed how much soap we accumulate. Let me ask you a question, if I may. How many bars of soap per day do you think are thrown away by hotels?
In the world?
In the world, every day.
probably, I don't know, like a dump truck worth.
Actually, that's pretty accurate. Maybe a few of them. So about 5 million bars of soap per day.
5 million a day?
5 million a day. That's 2 billion with a B, billion bars of soap per year.
Wow.
Listen, so
that's ridiculous.
and soap is heavy, and soap is not biodegradable. So you have a serious landfill and carbon footprint contribution from this wasted product associated with the hotel industry. So what we have decided to do is we have decided to invest in women to create green jobs for them to recycle basically a wasted resource that could be used to save lives in villages across the world. And since 2015, we've redirected enough soap to over 1.1 million people with education.
Fantastic. So let's talk about these countries that you are currently in. One of them is the United States, maybe Canada. What's the list of these current 10 countries? I'm sure in the future you're going to be expanding.
Sure, absolutely. So the vast majority of our work is actually in developing countries because the tourism industry in the developing countries, places such as Cape Town, South Africa, or Siem Reap, Cambodia, are booming. And soap that is thrown away here in the US is the same soap that's thrown away in South Africa, for example. So what we do is we usually recycle the soap locally in those developing countries so that we can redirect them locally to slum communities and to health clinics, to HIV positive families, and as many other environments like schools as we can to reach the most vulnerable populations. But yes, we have branches all over Sub-Saharan Africa, in South Asia, in Southeast Asia. And if many of your listeners are travelers, it's very likely we've recycled their leftover soap. So I thank you all for listening and your soap contributions.
Awesome. Okay, so now that we've talked about who you might want to team up with, hey, anyone, if you have hotels in some of these areas or have a nonprofit partner, an NGO partner or friend that works with an NGO in some of these areas, please let them know if they are not already taking part in this. This is an excellent program to get involved with, projectecosoap.org. I had a question about... if someone is involved in an organization or with a school or community that needs the soap, do they just email you? How do they get involved from the side of the recipient?
Absolutely. So the first thing they can do is they can log on to the Kickstarter campaign and they can purchase their soap for their beneficiaries. That's probably the most easiest way. But if they're looking to form a long-term relationship with hygiene education and other resources, they can go to our website and email us as well or contact us on Facebook.
Fantastic. And you guys are on social media. You're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Project Eco Soap. So let's get into our 7 sustainable questions. So first, can you share with us a long-standing habit that you believe has significantly improved your life?
Yes. There are several, and most of them involve eating sugar, but I won't talk about those. At the core of what I do as the founder is I speak to a lot of people from all different types of cultures and backgrounds on a daily basis. In the morning, I can have a conversation with a hotel partner in Sierra Leone. And in the afternoon, I can talk with someone who is working at a refugee camp in Lebanon. And so what that means is, because of the diversity of partnerships that come from this type of recycling and humanitarian work, the very core of our communications must be based in respect. We need to have respect for people of all different types of backgrounds and experiences, because as an American, I must maintain the sense that it is quite an honor to work with these people and to be able to help them, because it's not always that easy to help people, but to actually enjoy productive partnerships is quite an honor. So what I do at the end of each night is I actually keep a journal and I write down every single social, whether it's digital or in person, every single interaction I've ever had with a person that day. And I just write about it. Maybe I could have been more respectful. Maybe I could have been more inquisitive. Maybe I could have been more complimentary. The purpose is this: if you want to be an effective social entrepreneur, you need to maintain good relationships that are thoroughly based in respect.
Absolutely. That's fantastic advice. And if I knew anything about networking and just reaching out and fostering and building relationships with people, as much as I appreciate that now, I had no idea that was something that I needed to do in my 20s. And then to go a step further and actually journal about those, to think about them and how you could improve upon those, that's really fantastic advice.
See, if you started your Kickstarter campaign today, you'd do just fine.
especially with this listening audience, but even without it, yes, I would have done a much better job. Absolutely. What new habit are you cultivating in your life right now?
That's a tough one. Well, I'm trying to, it sounds bizarre, but I'm trying to read about, so you and I studied environmental science, right? We studied everything from earthquakes to silica and to Al Gore. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to broaden my horizons and draw not only inspiration, but motivations from different areas of study. So for example, I'm diving into history, because if I truly want to work in a country like Rwanda, we have a branch in Kigali, Rwanda, for example, if I truly want to understand the most sustainable way I want to assist that country, whether it's in terms of women's empowerment or hygiene, I need to know its history and I need to know it well so I can be an ethical contributor to that society. So I highly recommend people who have a distaste for learning about history to reconsider it in the light that if they want to do good in the world, first you have to know where it's been.
So what sources, I suppose, where are you going to find this information?
Well, that's a terrific question. So I actually, when we start a new branch, so we started a branch a couple years ago in Kigali, Rwanda, working with a local NGO called Hope Shines, I spoke to leaders of that organization. I said, listen, what resources and what books best portray the story of your country and your culture in your perspective. So I always take a local approach rather than doing just a Google search. Now, I understand that people don't always have contacts in the countries that they want to learn about. But if you look hard enough, the people who tell their country's story the best is the people that originate from that place. So just look for a local artist, and that'll be your best resource.
Very cool. I like that. Speaking of local resources, I know that many people are kind of looking to you and looking at this project and saying, wow, this is, I mean, like you said, you literally jumped right out of school into this project, and it's huge. The implications of it are huge, and the impact that it's going to have is also going to be huge and long lasting. Many people look up to you and the work that you've done in the community and for the environment. What environmental work do you admire?
Yeah, so first of all, it makes me feel really good that people would admire the progress that we've made. Listen, if people want to start a conversation with me, just go to projectecosoap.org and contact me. We can talk about mentorship and maybe even get a cup of coffee if you're local. But for those looking outward to other environmental initiatives that really strike my fancy, I would say that currently what I am looking at is the wastefulness in packaging worldwide. And I'm very inspired by the work by Tom Zaki at TerraCycle. He's launching a new initiative called Loop. And what it's meant to do is it's meant to accompany all those non-renewable products that we all use, such as toothpaste and deodorant and even ice cream, in a way that it comes in a reusable package that TerraCycle or Loop would then recollect, sterilize, and then ship that product back to you in a subscription model. This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if we want to make true environmental progress, we have to think about wildly out-of-the-box solutions like Loop, like soap recycling. Yeah, so as you said, there is a stigma and a big question mark attached to such enterprises, but those are the ones that really transform society. We don't want to take half measures, in my opinion, such as switching to a more compostable single-use packaging solution. While those are incredible advancements in their own right, I think those wildly out-of-the-box solutions like Loop and like soap recycling are the things that we need to do to transition into a fully sustainable society, as opposed to one that is just going to get us halfway to the finish mark.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Thank you for sharing that. What is one internet resource that you find helpful, personally helpful, on a regular basis that you think would also be beneficial to share with our listeners?
I try not to spend too much time on the internet. My face is usually planted in a book, for better or for worse. I would say this is going to be a poor answer. I would say YouTube. Listen.
Oh my gosh, YouTube is fantastic. That's the first time anyone's ever answered that.
I want people to be able to visualize the type of environmental work that's happening across the world. There are incredible things such as mushroom packaging and using chicken feathers as packaging, people recycling junk metals into iron supplements. It's just unbelievable the variety of environmental and humanitarian initiatives out there. But for me, it always helps if I can visualize that and actually be able to share it directly on social media. So if people are interested, just in YouTube, just Google Project EcoSoap and watch our short video. We think it's pretty hilarious because I get thrown out of a hotel by some security guards. I get knocked into a pool face first, all because I wanted to pursue the mission of recycling soap. So definitely check it out on YouTube.
fantastic. And you're right, YouTube is a fantastic source. I've learned about everything from how to build wind turbines to how to make rain gardens and even how to drive stick shift in a really crappy old car. Yes, YouTube is a fantastic source. And I always used to call it Farmer TV because instead of watching television, I would just be watching all of these YouTubers who had urban garden plots. So
they're actually thinking of changing it from YouTube to Farming TV. I'm just saying.
I like that. So you mentioned books that you usually have your nose in a book. What one or two books would you recommend for sustainable minds out there that are hoping to shift their mindset specifically to become the change that they want to see in the world?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a cliche answer, and that is the recent Elon Musk biography. Now, I am not saying we should all be like Elon Musk and to launch similar types of enterprises, but the reason why I gravitate to that title is because I think in that book and through his enterprises, he discusses realities that we are too scared to talk about. We're too scared to talk about the extinction of the human race, either by our means or natural means. We're too scared to talk about multi-planetary expansion and how darn difficult it is to get there. We're too scared and too introspective to really talk about what sort of identity we want to have as a society, not tomorrow, but 100 to 200 years from now. And so I definitely and highly recommend that book with a grain of salt. And additionally, because I think if you look at the hard work that's done by those teams at those enterprises, it'll just motivate you to reach a little bit higher in your own enterprise.
And the book that you're speaking about is Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. Is that the correct one?
That is correct. It does not come with the Tesla car. I'm sorry to say.
No, you have to sign up for those separately. Right. It's $1,000. Well, it used to be $1,000. I don't know what it is now. Anyway. All right. So I kind of want to end on something a little closer back to Project Eco Soap.
Sure.
You started this project with big hopes and dreams. And I mean, this is such a, I actually think, I don't know if is being put on the ballot or if it's just being considered for California getting rid of soap in all hotels,
right.
Just period. And so I'm not really sure how they are going to address that moving forward, if it's going to be a liquid thing and it's just on the wall and it's kind of a dispenser or what. It's something that everyone uses, but it's just right. One of those things that no one thinks about. And it's those items and it's those actions that we really need to consider a more sustainable way of doing it, because right. Those are the things that every single person does every day. Well, I shouldn't say every single person. In the Western world, many times a week people use soap. In other parts of the world, as you mentioned, people don't have access to soap and other hygiene resources. When people are trying to tackle something this large, but that's just so much a part of our everyday lives and are actually trying to turn that on its head, what's your advice for those people? Where should they start?
Yeah, so one of my favorite phrases of all time is ideas are easy, implementation is hard. And what that means, what that practically means, that is, if you have a brilliant idea and you have a brilliant concept, number one, just start it. Don't spend too much time at the drawing board. Launch that Kickstarter, Marjorie, and get that word out there, because nothing will be more educational than actually learning by doing it hands-on and by putting it out there in the public. If you spend too much time on the drawing board, you're going to end up in constant feedback loops, and your brilliant idea may never materialize. So the first thing is to start it. The second thing is to obsess. Yes, I actually condone obsession here. I want people to obsess over sustainability, over scalability. So now it's a little bit hypocritical because we're talking about, we recycle soap in 10 countries in less than 5 years, and it's been rapid growth for us. But in the beginning, we had to absolutely perfect our recycling process before we could even think about exporting it. Mm. We had to research as much as we can how to export such an initiative ethically, especially when you're hiring women as well in the developing world. So the first thing is not to spread so far and so wide that you're absolutely scattered and that you've spread yourself too thin, but to focus on quality. Focus on the initiative and make sure that every nook and cranny is fully figured out. And then you know what? It will scale naturally because the whole darn world will invest in this project and they will see how relevant it is to their society and their own culture. So I would say the first thing is to just jump in head first. I was a junior in college, and so I had to study and work on this initiative at the same time. Those were very trying days. but the second thing is to worry about sustainability. Lay a strong foundation to your idea first before you actually think about sending it out into the airwaves or sending it out to another place.
Wow, such fantastic advice. Thank you so much, Samir, for joining us today. I want anyone that is interested in supporting Project EcoSoap to head on over to their website, projectecosoap.org. Also, they are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and of course on Kickstarter. They have some awesome perks. Their early bird perk is going to run out on May 15th, 2019. So if you're listening to this before then and you want to get involved, absolutely do that. You're going to be able to get access to their awesome 3-pack, which has some wonderful scents. And also they have an honor wall and t-shirts and a couple other cool perks for you. Samir, you did have some ways in which you wanted people to get involved and also help spread the word. How can they help you guys out in, well, you've already doubled your goal of $10,000, so congratulations with that. But this fundraiser actually goes until June 1st, 2019. So how That's can right. people help you guys out and help spread the word?
So through Project EcoSoap, for every bar that someone buys, we donate 100 bars to children in need across the world. So if you're looking to do good today, just head over to that Kickstarter campaign and do some good there. But the thing that's so important about this is that I want people to know that it's a completely zero waste product as well. So we're not packaging the soap in any paper, cardboard, or plastic, but it's actually going to be wrapped in a rescued hotel linen with their impact screen printed directly on the linen that you can use as a dinner table napkin or a tea towel or anything that you'd like. So we're immensely proud of this product. It's going to be handcrafted by women across the world whom you will form intimate relationships with. And we just couldn't be more proud about it. So definitely sign on there. Back this campaign and then share it with your friends and even strangers too, because you know what? We all need soap.
We do all need soap. You're absolutely right. And as you were saying that, I am pledging $24.
Oh, thank you.
My 6 bars of soap and get on the honor wall here. Freaking awesome.
You will love it.
Yeah, and you're right, it is beautiful. Not only is the soap beautiful, but these towels, now that you mention, you know, explain what they are, those are super cool as well. Thank you so much, Samir Lakhani, for joining us today. It has been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Thank you so much.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you are interested in learning more about Samir, Project Eco Soap, and hygiene education, head on over to projectecosoap.org. And of course, all of these links, as well as all of the resources mentioned in today's episode, will be in the show notes and at our website at asustainablemind.com/064. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time on A Sustainable Mind.